The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, this week on Call Chelsea Peretti, we have Blake Anderson, and it's definitely worth a listen for moments such as...
Yeah, it's crazy. You didn't realize how much Sporks had to...
change the game.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between Sweden, Stockholm, and Norway?
That's a great question.
Do you know that a caller called and says he has something called Fantasia's disease where you can't visualize anything?
Fantasia? I have that.
What the actual...
What? You do?
Listen to Call Chelsea Peretti on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in. It's 2022.
It's 2022, and it's me and it's you.
But not together, because Tanya has come down with a mysterious...
I don't know what I have, but I really don't feel good. I feel super congested, and I feel like I have a cold or allergies. I haven't gotten my test yet, so... I told Becca not to come near me until I do get a test. So it's hard to say.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I would not want you near me, because, especially because I'm sneezing so much. It just feels not
spready.
Yeah.
Feels spready.
Feels very spready. But, you know, I was in the cold recently. I was a week I was like in the snow, and I haven't been in cold weather in a really long time. So it really could be a cold. But these days, you never know.
You really never know.
Yeah,
I know. I flew back from Louisiana, which was truly a nightmare experience, but we can get to that later. But I just was like, I'm not going to see anybody, because the airports and everything was so insane that I was like, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing, chill for a little week or so, make sure I'm feeling good. And
yeah,
so we're all good. We're all good. Mark, back from Hawaii.
Back from Hawaii. Yes, thank you. Feeling good. Had a really nice couple of weeks with the family in Hawaii and my in-laws and my wife's brother's family. There were 10 of us in an Airbnb or a VRBO or something.
Was there plenty of room, or was it like
plenty
everyone was ready?
Oh,
okay.
No. It was good. It was very good. There's plenty of room and had a pool. And so the kids were in the pool with their cousins all day, every day. It was a really great time.
Did y'all love Hawaii? Was that everyone's first time?
It was my wife had been there. I think the rest of us, it was our first time.
Did everyone have a great time?
Yeah, it was very good. We were there for 12 days. So we did a lot of stuff. We really saw a lot of Oahu.
Yeah.
A lot of alohas and
this. A lot of shakas.
Yeah,
sure did.
I was doing that in the mountains.
Tanya does it wherever she goes. It doesn't matter. She's always in the shaka spirit, aloha spirit. Mm-hmm.
But I do have a really exciting story to share.
And wait, I haven't said hey to Easton yet.
I think Easton's not here.
Easton has split attention today.
Oh, okay. Bye, Easton. Easton came back from hosting the Eastie Awards.
Oh, the Easties another, were great this year.
Congrats. Another successful Eastie Awards. All right, Tanya, story time. Sorry.
That's okay. I need any scrubber that is has a good eye, that is like a mountain woman who knows her slopes, to really do some investigating here, because I think I had a star sighting on my extravaganza. And if it is correct that it is him, I don't even know what to do with myself. So I went to Tahoe, which is it used to be called Squaw. They changed the name to Palisades Tahoe. So I don't really know what it is now, but I think it's Palisades Tahoe. And the first few days, mind you, my dad sent a photo of the last time I skied to Red Star and said, good luck, because the last time I skied, I was 4 years old. And then in the photo, I looked like possessed and like evil.
So mean, like a bully. You looked like a bully.
Yeah. So he basically said, like, good luck taking this one skiing, right? So the first day we're there, I go into school with his youngest son, who's like 7. And it's me on the bunny slopes. With like all these little kids going on the magic carpet, and I'm just going down this bunny slope, pizzaing down, right? So the first day I'm on that thing, right? The second day there's like a bunny hill, and then there's like a more advanced bunny hill next to it, right? And that's a little bit, you know, I'm thinking that's what an actual mountain looks like. It's really not. It's still a bunny slope, but it's like a little bit more advanced, intermediate. So there were like 10-year-olds on that, right? So the second day I'm on this other bunny slope with his 7-year-old, and I look and I keep seeing this guy that looks like Patrick Dempsey. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to, his son has no idea, has no idea. So I'm just like, how is this Patrick Dempsey? So I'm not good with the cold, and I had gloves on the entire time. So I barely had my phone on me, but I pulled out my phone and I texted Amy. We had Amy, Danielle, and Becca, and I have a group chat. And I was like, I think I see Patrick Dempsey on the slopes with me. I really think it's him. So I'm going through my head and I'm like, does he have kids? Why would he be on the bunny slopes? You know, like, why is he on this? And I'm thinking, you know, Zola and Bailey. But then I was like, those aren't his real kids. So then I'm trying to like Google in real life if he has young kids, but my hands were frozen. So I'm just like, God, I really think that's him. Cut to the next day. Becca sends me a screenshot.
I'm frantic.
Yeah. Patrick Dempsey posts a photo on his Instagram that he is on a chairlift of his goggles with with snowy trees in the background. And I can't tell. I don't know. I haven't been a shredder for too long. I've only shredded for about a week. So I'm not well versed in the mountains across the country, but it looks like it could be Palisades Tahoe in his goggles. And if it is, I saw Patrick Dempsey, but does he have a child?
He has many kids. He has like 5 kids. Yeah.
He could have been on the bunny slopes.
Yes.
What do we do with this information?
Tanya, weren't you just hanging out with him at a baseball game last summer and had a long conversation with him?
This would be way more exciting if it was me, because I haven't met him yet.
I don't think you understand how like cumbersome skis are. You can't just like pop on over and be like, hey, let me remove my goggles and my mask and my whole gear and be like, remember me? You met me on a baseball softball tournament 2 years ago where, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be like, who are you?
No, I'm saying you've already met him. So this was just kind of like, hey, my friend Patrick is on the slopes with me.
No, to have the street cred to say I went shredding with Patrick Dempsey is something I need in my bio. Yeah.
Is that what they call it? Sloping?
Sloping.
Oh. I was like, I text her. I was like, follow him. I got into a frantic, scary mode. You know how I do, like when I show up to Sunset Tower for Jennifer Aniston, but
yeah, it felt like one of those things, and now I feel as though I was shredding with Patrick Dempsey. And it
also
feels good.
By the way, his kids seem to be 14 and 19, so I'm not sure how little they are.
No, he has twins that are like young.
I think the twins are 14.
There's no way those twins are 14 already.
You're welcome to look it up, but it looks to me like they were born in 2007.
Oh my gosh, just
time flies when you're old. Yeah, time flies. That's my only thing that threw me off is why is he on the bunny slope? But maybe he has a niece or nephew that he was taking down.
I just thought, I'm just sticking with the story that you saw him, because like, what are the chances that you say you see him and then I go to his Instagram and he posts him on a ski lift in the snow?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question it was him.
You guys,
I mean,
I went shredding with Patrick Dempsey.
Sloping. Wow, what a story. I mean, you went all over. Like, you were like in Mexico. I know. And then you came back.
They call it fire and ice. When you do heat and cold, when you go hot cold.
Who calls it that?
I don't know. Some people. I met them in Mexico. They're listeners of On Air with Ryan Seacrest. They recognized me and I started talking to them and they listened to the morning show and they live in New York. And yeah, they were super, super cute. And I told them what we were doing over winter break and they were like, oh yeah, fire and ice. Cool. And I was like, oh, I'm going to start saying that. Fire and ice.
Oh, so there's an official day. I thought you were just saying like you and Red Star call it fire and ice.
No. It's like an official thing. Who knows if it's official, but they were using it. So I'm going to start using it.
So you didn't know for sure if it was Patrick Dempsey, but if you had known that, would you have gone up to him and said, hey, Patrick, it's Tanya. We met at the softball benefit last year.
Trust me, it went through my head and I texted Red Star and I was like, what do I do? And that's he said the same thing. He goes, didn't you meet him already? Can't you say hi? But I'm like, skis are so annoying. They're not, it's not like you're, it's not feet. Skis are like not feet.
Long. They're like long
They're
feet.
So long. And you can't like, I can't side shuffle. I can barely scurry. And so I was like, there's no way I can get to him and like not fall, or, you know what I mean? Like if he had been in front of me in line or if he was a little bit closer, I maybe would have said something, but it would have been really a challenge.
So me, Tanya, and Red Star are in a group chat, and Red Star will send me videos and photos of Tanya updating me on their trips, because if I don't watch Tanya's Instagram, I don't know what they're doing. Luckily, Red Star keeps me updated, but he sends me these videos of Tanya, and one of them, she's like zigzagging down the slope and misses a woman. I don't know how close you were, but in the video, it looks like an inch, like literally skirts around her. And I was like, that woman does not know how lucky she is right now to be standing still.
I do have to say, I know I need to actually post that video. I was so, it's so cold. Funny. I just like didn't do anything on my phone for a week because I was just so cold. But the first few days I was on the bunny slopes. And then the last day I made it to like, I skied from resort to the village. I was actually pretty good. I was like going down blue. I don't really know what they mean, but I was going down blues.
I think blues are good.
Yeah. He said I was a natural. And I'm going down this thing and there's this woman who just stopped and I literally miss her by like literally an inch.
Like it looked like she was like a, you know it when people are doing training in sports and they have the cones out and you're supposed to get as close to the cone as you can.
Yeah.
It was like she was a cone and Tanya barely went around her on accident.
So apparently in skiing, people, you know, they don't want you just to go down the mountain like fast, you know, just straight down. Apparently you're supposed to zigzag, which makes you more in control of everything. Who knew that? And so Red Star was really big on me zigzagging because he was like, I don't want you to go too fast and then not know how to stop or not be able to stop. So he really wanted me to like zigzag. And I can really zigzag to my right, but to my left is a questionable situation. And so this poor woman really dodged a bullet.
She's going to have a lucky year. I can feel it for her.
But skiing is so cute. Like I just think it's cute. People are so nice on skis. You know, they were like, oh, can this kid ride on the chair with you? And I was like, sure. Everyone's just friendly and cool. Yeah. And it's just like a cool vibe. I feel like I've missed out in my life because I was not a snow bunny.
I also was not a snow bunny and I've never even been skiing. I've only snowboarded. And I honestly didn't like it because there was something about going down a hill fast on a board that like where I didn't feel confident about it because I didn't go on the bunny. I didn't start in school or anything. I just went for it.
Yeah.
And I didn't love it. So everyone says I should try skiing, but I haven't felt like a intense urge to do so.
I've got to say it was really, really fun. I had a really good time. But the last run, they're called runs, by the way.
Yeah.
The last run that I went down, I think it was way too advanced for me, and I fell a ton, and I was like crying by the end of it.
Oh no.
And like, I'm telling you, your body in your 30s is not your body in your 20s, because the next day I felt like I had been in a car accident. I was so sore in like my neck and my back and all these.
Skiing though too, in general, it's not just your falling. Like, skiing uses muscles you don't normally use. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was just like, wow, girlfriend can't be, you know, fearless on the slopes, because.
Didn't you and Patrick have a memorable interaction too back at that softball game? Didn't you say something weird to him?
Yeah.
About our podcast, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris Harrison introduced me to him, and he was like, she has a podcast all about scrubbing in. And then I was like, about Grey's Anatomy. And I got really awkward, and I was like, yeah. And then I said something like, are you catching the ball? Like something so awkward about softball. Like,
are you catching the ball?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I hope so.
Right.
And then you rode up on a ski lift with some random kid.
Yeah.
And I want to know more about that conversation. Just, hi, I'm Tanya. How are you in skiing? Did you know they're called runs?
Yeah, well, like, these kids are five. And I'm like, yeah, how long have you been skiing? You know what's interesting? I rode up with a couple kids, because I just kind of kept going around in a circle on this bunny slope. Like, it was just like, doot, 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 doot.
She was like, I'm too advanced for this. And so she was quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick laps on the runs.
But apparently kids can't go on the chairlift without an adult. And so these kids that are like in the school, the instructor can't take all of them, so they basically like throw a kid on each chair with an adult, and it's very, you know what I realized is some kids are very quiet and some are very chatty. Like, I never knew what I was gonna get. So like Jackson didn't want to talk, so he didn't talk at all the whole ride up. But then like Connor, so cute, was just like chatting up the whole ride up. And like,
you know, Tanya, that's people, that's not just kids. Some are quiet and some like to talk.
It's so fascinating.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready that, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a very Tanya moment because flights in general has just been crazy because they didn't have the staff because of COVID.
It's been nuts.
Traveling was crazy. And I flew from Louisiana, and then my youngest sister, Hink, and I were on the same flight to Houston. And we knew it was going to be close. Like, we were going to have to run to our gates, but we had separate gates, but our flights were 1 minute apart. So I was like, all right, good luck. I'll see you. So we split and we run. And, you know, I miss flights all the time. So I wasn't even, like, worried about missing the flight.
That's so weird.
I run. Well, this one wasn't my fault because the airline was delayed and it wasn't because of weather or anything. And I run. Like, literally, I thought I was going to pass out. My lungs were burning so bad. And I get to the desk and the girls, they had already shut the gate. So I was kind of like, this is not going to be good. I was like, is it closed? I was like, is there any way? Like, I literally just ran from the gate. It was delayed. They don't even look up at me. Like, it was just like, so I got so, I was so mad. I was like, I get it. We're all, y'all are tired. Y'all are overworked, underpaid. But, like, they didn't even acknowledge me. And I was like, can I reschedule? Like, is there another flight I can get on? And the girl just kind of mumbles, like, the gate that I need to go to. So I was not happy. And then the rest of the time, everyone was super helpful. But I had to stay the night in Houston. I didn't have my bag. I had nothing. I had no clothes or anything, which if you know anything about me, I'm a freak about being clean and fresh in my clothes. So I DoorDashed, body washed, toothpaste, all my toiletries to me. Nothing was open for me to get clothes. So I had to wear the same clothes the next day.
Wait, did you sleep in in a hotel or at the airport?
Yeah, so we got
a
hotel.
Did the hotel not have body wash?
Yeah, but it's like, I wanted to feel clean, and their stuff is like, it's like gross.
No, come
on. Well, yeah, I had to get toothpaste and a toothbrush. So I was like, I'm just going to get body wash that I like, to smell good. I already had to get the stuff. So Hink also missed her flight. So we were in it together, which I was really honestly grateful that I missed mine, because if she had been stuck there alone, mm-hmm. I would have been like so worried. So anyways, the next day they were like, hey, we redirected your flight. You're actually flying into Burbank now. I'm like, that's perfect. Yeah. They redirected my bags. I was like, great. We're in the air about to land. And they're like, the conditions in Burbank aren't safe for us to land. So we're actually going to land in Ontario, which is like an hour away.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're kidding. Like, I'm still in the same clothes. So I'm just like, Haley had driven my car to the Burbank airport to the valet so I could just get in my car and come home. So I was like, in my mind, I thought, you know what? Last night wasn't great. It's going to be great today. I'm getting home.
Yeah.
So they were like, we're going to have buses to take y'all to Burbank, but they won't be here for another hour. So I'm like, I'm just going to get an Uber. So I get this Uber. the girl, I swear she was an angel. Like, I've never had an Uber driver. Like, she waited for me because I went outside to talk to her. I was like, hi, I explained the situation. I was like waiting for my bags. And she's like, no worries. Like, just take your time. She didn't start the ride till I got in my car with my bags. Normally they start it as soon as like they get there. Mm-hmm. We talked the whole ride up. She was like the sweetest, brightest light ever. And I never talked to my Ubers like we normally are, just sitting in silence. I felt very Tanya. And she was just the greatest. Like, and I literally got out and I told her, I was like, you're my angel. Like, you were literally an angel today. And she totally turned my whole day around. And I posted it and they were like, this is such a Tanya thing for you to do. And I was like, I'm channeling more of my Tanya energy in 2022.
Wow.
I'm going to try and talk to people.
It's like Nancy Spielberg's driving an Uber.
Yeah, it was Nancy Spielberg, but not.
But not. Oh, I love that. Your little angel. See, I think talking to people benefits more than not. Like, sometimes you'll get a dud and you're like, oh, why did I crack this door? But the majority of the time, it's quite pleasant.
I think the opening exchange can really let you know if it's going to be worth the, like, interaction.
Okay,
you
so know something like that happened. So when we were in Mexico, we were at this restaurant, and there was this couple that sat down right next to us. And sometimes Red Star and I will, like, kind of have these, we'll play these games of, like, how long do you think they've been dating? You know, like, a year, less than, is this the first date, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So we, like, made this little, yeah. We made this little wager on this couple that sat down. And so obviously we need to get to the bottom of it to figure it out. So we start chatting them up, blah, blah, blah. We end up talking to them for over an hour. The guy starts sending us tequila shots. We're taking tequila shots with these people that are, like, sitting, you know, whatever. Turns out they're not a couple at all. They're just friends. The girl wants to be with him. He's commitment phobe, whatever. But we ended up taking one tequila shot too many. And I literally was like, I got to go. Like, I have got to go home. So Red Star, like, rushes me home. I start I'm puking for, like, an hour. Like, I was, like, horrible.
That's bad. I hate that.
It was horrible. But what's so funny is we went back to that restaurant, like, two nights later. And we had the same waiter. And he was, like, I thought that they were swingers, that they were trying to kind of... And he goes, I was really happy when I saw you take your girl, like, you know, at home, that you guys were going home to, you know, together. And I was like, no, I was just so drunk, I couldn't even stay there anymore. Like, I needed to go home. But they had this, it's just funny because they had this whole theory that these people were swingers trying to hit on us. And we were
yeah,
just
but
like,
they probably see it all the time. So they probably do have, like, a good read on people.
Totally. But I was like, that was so not what was happening at all.
Yeah. Well, luckily Danielle and I have no, we can't relate to having too much tequila in any capacity. But so do you?
Yeah, it was bad.
What did y'all do for New Year's? Do you like New Year's? Are you a New Year's celebrator? But, no, like, I'm saying, like, the event of New Year's, do you find it overrated or do you? I'm not talking about, like, your setting intentions and
no,
fresh
I know.
Start.
I love a New Year. Like, the New Year is just such a refreshing feeling. It's just a new chapter, a new page, a new book per se.
Oh,
I love a new year, but we didn't really do much because we just got back from skiing. And so we were all kind of like tired. And so we did stay up till midnight. We watched Ryan on New Year's Rockin' Eve and went to sleep at 12:01 and wore the 2022 glasses and the hats. And that's basically it.
We went up to Haley and I went to Three Rivers because I've never been to the Sequoia trees. It's been like a dream of mine forever. And so we went and it was like, it looked like a winter wonderland up there. It was like where we stayed, it wasn't snowing, which was so nice because it was just like calm cold and peaceful. But then we drove up and it was snowing so much. I think I fell asleep at 10:30 on New Year's Eve, which I was so happy about. I had no hesitation about going to sleep before midnight. And to be honest, so I always take edibles. If I'm gonna partake in weed, I take edibles. And I know my limitations. Like, I know what's gonna make me feel just like relax and go to sleep. I know it's going to make me high and like want to like eat and laugh. But for the first time, I tried a joint and it was an absolute nightmare. I started coughing so bad. I thought I was going to die. I was like, how do people do this? Apparently I did it wrong. And I was like, I don't feel anything. And then like 20 minutes after the fact, I was cruising. It was a good time.
Were you cruising for a bruising? Wait, so when
no, I wasn't smoke, cruising for a bruising.
When you smoke
I was
a joint,
cruising.
Do you smoke it like a cigarette? Like you smoke it down to the bottom?
I literally don't know. Like I took Haley goes, do it like this. I did it and nothing happened. And she goes, You didn't suck any in. And I was like, okay, so I do it again. I start coughing. I have it on video. I start coughing and like do, you know, when you get too much pool water in your mouth and you do like that gag, like choke thing.
Yeah,
I did that. It was like a nightmare. It was a disaster. But I felt really good and had a great time. And that's why I fell asleep at 10:30, relaxed, ready for the new year.
And then how do you feel the next day? Do you get hungover from a joint?
No, you don't get hungover at all. That's the best part. It's like, that's my argument of people who have an issue with weed is that like alcohol is so much more destructive.
That's the next day after my tequila explosion. I was just not there. Like we stayed in bed watching Breaking Bad till like 1 o'clock. Yeah.
That's a good vacation though. I love that.
Yeah. It was actually quite nice.
I get room service.
Yeah, because
so
they had
nice.
The TV where you can like hook it up to your phone. So we just put on, you know, where we were. Yeah, it was great. And like, I'm a Breaking Bad stan now.
Well, apparently people are obsessed with the show.
It's
so.
So good. And it's like on paper, you would never think it's a Tanya show. And I'm obsessed. Like I'm right now, I haven't watched it in a couple days. And I'm just like, what's Walt up to right now? What's he getting
it's
into?
It is, how far into it are you?
I'm almost done. We're almost, I think. Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I'm on the last season.
I might try to get into it again. I started it and it was a little dark for me, but
I know, but I think it's I weird. Could get into it. It's like this weird darkness where you're rooting for the dark people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
We have a lot of TV to discuss or like two specific TV shows to discuss, but we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with that.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. First, I think we need to get to Tanya left a huge cliffhanger teaser at the end of our last episode. And a lot of people guessed on the Scrubbing In Instagram what they thought was happening, which a lot of people thought y'all were moving in together, I guess, you and Red Star.
Yeah.
But that's not.
No, that is not it. What was really funny, though, is I think people were guessing that because I've been posting on my Instagram, like Diary of a Girlfriend every time I come home from Red Star's house, and I have like 10 bags on my shoulders. So yeah. I'll have like all my bags because I have a bunch of I have all my toiletries and I have like underwear and all the like necessities. But in terms of outfits and stuff, I don't really have anything there. So I schlep, you know, things back and forth. So I always just have a ton of bags. So I've been taking photos of myself in the mirror with like all my bags. And people will respond to me like, I can relate. This is my life. Da, da, da. So it's been really funny. So I think that was like the number one guess that we're moving in together. But we are not. We are getting a puppy.
Hey-o!
A puppy. I think a puppy might be bigger than moving in together at this point.
I know. I'm really excited. Because I obviously have been talking about it for a while. And he was kind of on the same page. He wanted to get a puppy, but he didn't want to do it alone. And I was kind of the same way. And so we were like, let's do it together. And we ended up actually, I found a Scrubbing In listener, shout out Sarah. And we just found the most perfect puppy for us. We fell in love with her. And we're going to get her very soon in a couple days. And it's just been like really, really fun. We've been watching videos. We've been taking courses of how to train. Like we want her to be really well behaved. Arguing over different, not really arguing, but having different opinions on where she should pee and where she, you know what I mean? Like where like all those different spots are going to be. So it's been really, really fun, but big deal.
She's honestly one of the cutest dogs I have ever seen. Like her face is unreal. People are going to die.
I know. I just like, I'm like literally so in love with her. Like I just like stare at photos of her all the time. It's the weirdest thing. I'm like,
she's so cute. I can't wait to meet her. And she'll be smaller than Phoebe for a second. So Phoebe will feel like an alpha for 2 seconds.
Oh yeah. We want to like, we want to, we already set up play dates with other dogs that we know are vaccinated. Because when they're
Phoebe's
puppies,
fully vaxxed.
Yeah. So she and Phoebe can have a play date. Really excited about that. But yeah.
So do you have a name picked out?
Yeah, her name's gonna be Sunny.
Cute.
I would like to know more about that process. You know, how did we land on Sunny?
Yeah.
So she's a Sunny girl. So she just brings sunshine into your life. You look at her and she is just a ball of sunshine. And her collar is yellow. So it just all felt very serendipitous. You know what I mean?
I was really rooting for Monica or Rachel. Or Chandler, because Chandler's also cute for a girl. But I had told our friend Taylor Banks has a puppy, a dog too. And I was like, her name's Rue. But I was like, could Rue's real name be Rachel, but she goes by Rue? So that then we could have a Chandler and Monica. And then Paulina has Joey. I have Phoebe. We were really getting somewhere. And then Tanya threw me a curveball with Sunny.
I know. So I did throw, Rachel was in play for a while. I really wanted a Rachel, but we all needed to agree on it. So it was me, Red Star, and his kids. And so all of us needed to agree on something. Rachel wasn't totally really ever in the mix.
So, yeah, I didn't think so.
But Red Star was like, if you really want Rachel, I can push for it. And I was like, you know what? No, she's such a Sunny girl. Like, I loved, she's just such a little sunshine girl. And so it just, it works.
Yeah, I represent yellow and sunshiny, honestly, when I think of the cast of Friends with Phoebe. So that would have been the most like sunshiny cast member. Unfortunately, that's already taken. So Sunny is great. We're very excited for Sunshine Girl. And she'll have many other nicknames as she grows, I promise.
I know, but the best part is like, I don't know if Becca, if I told you this, but you know how they tell you about this like snuggle pup. There's this like snuggle puppy that you snuggle, like you want your scent on it. And so we all took turns sleeping with it at night. And so I slept with it for a night and I was like, this thing is so soft. I love sleeping with a stuffed animal and I kind of want one now. And I used to judge people that slept with stuffed animals as adults. So that's where I'm at in life.
So like when you're alone or when you're even with Red Star?
I mean, when I'm with him. Weird. Is it too weird?
So wait, so you slept with, is it a teddy bear? Is that what it is?
No, it's like a little puppy that you, it's like this a soft little puppy and it has like a heartbeat
wait,
in
is
it.
This, oh, this is the, okay, wait. Okay, I take back my judgment because.
They're soft.
My sister just recently got a puppy and for Christmas she wanted this heartbeat dog to put in, to train her dog with. And I put it up against me and it's like the most calming, comforting feeling and sound.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you need that.
I know.
For every night.
I know.
But the dog would probably benefit from it.
Yeah.
No judgment to anyone who sleeps with anything. I just, when you turn 34 and you start that habit, I find it, it's like, why add something to be dependent on, you know?
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. You know, I'm a modern woman and I don't want to be dependent on anyone, even if it is a stuffed animal.
That well, is that's a- like me. I'm dependent on melatonin to sleep.
Yeah, it's not good.
I know. But get ready. Your sleep's about to change forever.
I know.
It is. It really like I used to sleep. I could sleep through anything. Like nothing woke me up. As soon as I got Phoebe, if she even moves in my bed, I'm like up and alert. Like I know at all times
you
where
know,
she is.
You know what's interesting is like because we've been watching all these videos and doing all these courses and there's so many different ways to like train a dog or how you know what I mean? Like different things you can do with your dog that I'm like, how do you choose the best one? And I'm like, this is, I guess, how parenting is too. There's all these different methods and ways. You know what I mean? It's like, it's up to you what you want to do.
Well, the dog just adapts to your lifestyle. I mean, it's like you can do so much. People pay like thousands of dollars for training. And if your dog is like, nah, then it's going to be like, no.
Like we want a trainer to hit the bell on the door to tell us if she has to pee outside.
We did that. Our dog Molly does that.
Does it?
That's
it works, right?
Genius.
Yes, she does do that. But sometimes it appears that she does it just for attention. Like she was just out 10 minutes ago, but she's going bang, bang, bang on the bell because she just wants us to pay attention to her.
But when you did it to train her, basically every time you took her out, you hit the bell and then took her out. Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're going to do.
My wife is a puppy trainer, so she has all kinds of these tricks.
Oh, I might need to talk to her about her, some things. Mm-hmm. Does she train 4-year-old dogs?
I mean, she's pretty good with dogs. I mean, she's very good at, like, you know, the basics. You know, sit and roll over and where to pee. She's really good at that stuff.
Phoebe's got that down. She's mostly just doesn't come, like, when we need her, and she'll hide under the couch, which can really delay me getting anywhere on time if she's coming.
Yeah, we have, like, we have really high hopes for our dog. We're, like, we're going to train her not to jump on people when they walk in.
She's only so little. I don't like that, because that's what dogs do. Like, that's what makes them happy. So I feel like you're taking away what makes them a dog, which is, like...
No, because we still, play. We still want her to play with people, but we just want her to just be a well-behaved little sunshine girl.
Like, if she was a Great Dane, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably very important not to jump on people. But she's going to be like a 10-pound dog. Okay.
There's, like, a lot. There's a lot to digest.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. There's just a lot happening. Did you watch Just Like That?
No. Honestly, this entire...
Okay, and Mark didn't either, and Easton's gone, so I'm alone in this.
How many episodes have I missed? 2?
Maybe 3. I don't know. There's 5. The 3rd episode made me... I was, like, about to quit. And then Easton texted me and was like, the 4th episode, I feel like it's given me... It's may have saved the whole season. So it's getting back to what it is. But there is some really disappointing stuff in the last episode that I wanted to discuss. But I'm just going to have to wait till you're caught up. But Grey's Anatomy. Did everyone watch Grey's?
Yeah, I'm caught up on Grey's.
Tanya's gonna be spoiled.
No, you know what, I did not have time. I was out and about.
Well, if you had time to watch Breaking Bad, you had time. Yeah,
that's right.
To watch Grace.
That's right. Exactly. Plus, you had flights you could have watched it on. I'm with Becca. Bad on you.
That's true. I should have. You're right. You're right. You know what? You're right. I don't plan on my flights. I play like stupid. Like, I did my vision board on my flight home. You know what I mean? Like, I should have prepared better with the flights.
Okay, well, spoiler alert, Mark and I are going to talk about it.
That's okay, I already know what happens.
Oh, you do? Okay, Mark.
Yes.
The main thing is that, is Owen dead?
Okay, thank you. Because I honestly was racking my brain trying to remember what happened in that last episode.
I don't remember anything else, but I just know that.
I got to tell you, and I know that I have a reputation on this show for being kind of the defender of Grey's Anatomy. I thought this episode was a low point.
Oh, no. I heard it was good.
Wait, I'm shocked. I thought it was one of the best they've had recently. No,
to me, it was extremely telegraphed because... So they're trying to get a liver for a kid?
A heart?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get a heart for this kid. We got one. It's great. And then they're driving back and Kim Raver keeps saying... Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. We've got the heart now. Everything's going to be just fine. And I'm thinking to myself, clearly it's not going to be just fine, or you wouldn't be saying over and over again it's going to be just fine. And sure enough, because it's a mid-season finale, the guy driving their car has a heart attack, and they go flying off the road. It's like, this doesn't happen in the world as much as it happens to these people.
This is literally Grey's Anatomy to an absolute T.
But to the point they're becoming a parody of themselves.
That's what I was trying to say in the last episode that you defended, where I said they were in that play skit thing.
That's what they did in the very beginning of the series with, like, the shooter in the hospital and the bomb. And like, those were the epic seasons.
This is the thing. The writing has changed because it's the same idea. It's no different. Like, it's been this way from the beginning. But the delivery and the writing and the, dare I say, the acting, I don't know.
Possibly.
I think it's more about the writing, though, because...
But haven't we done this one before where their car veers off the road and is stuck on a cliff? Because, by the way, just because your driver has a heart attack doesn't mean you're going to end up hanging from a tree on a cliff. Like, it just seems stupid to me.
Okay, it is stupid. And also, we're on season 18. We are having to repurpose every storyline we could think of at this point.
No, there are lots of storylines that they have not gone down. Like, menstrual cups getting stuck inside somebody or... constipated people, or there's a lot of storylines.
Yeah, but they need something more drastic than constipation. I will say, though, when the car fell and you heard the landing, I was like, This is not looking good for Owen.
No way. They're not killing Owen.
Yeah, they're not killing
him. No way. No. And when Owen and what's his name? Carmack? Is that his name?
Yeah.
When they were having that, like, no, you have to go. No, I can't leave you. No, you have a family. But wait, I can't leave you. I was like, how are you guys doing this with a straight face? Honestly, like, this had to be a challenge for you too.
I'm with you, but like, you defend episodes that are so much worse than this. So I'm just like shocked to hear this.
Yeah, honestly, I'm shook to my core because I heard this was a really good one.
No, I was rolling my eyes the whole time.
What?
Well, I feel as though I roll my eyes a lot during Grey's a lot this year or lately, but. I do. Oh, and then Amelia and the new doctor make out, and Link was like trying to find Amelia to basically be like, I don't need to be married to you. I just want to be with you.
Oh,
I love
no.
you. And he walks out and sees them kissing.
Yeah, that was sad.
Oh, that's a good storyline, though. I'm going to enjoy that.
That was good.
Joe is into Link, and he's like pining over Amelia. So that's going to be a good little triangle situation. But my thing that I don't like about shows right now, and just like that did this as well, they rush storylines. So there's something, even though it's frustrating as a viewer, when things are dragged out and you're waiting for that inevitable moment, like I hope we're going to be waiting for Link and Joe to get together longer than them just like rushing it because it feels obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like back in the day when Meredith and Derek weren't together, we waited a long time for them to have their like moment.
Yeah. Remember when I went skiing with him?
Remember when you played like softball with him?
Yeah, that's right.
And talked and Chris Harrison got photos of y'all walking up the stairs.
Me and P-Dem, you know?
Yeah.
Thick as thieves.
I love him. I'm like obsessed with him. And I remembered that I have this like signed autograph shirt that I paid an absurd amount of money to win this auction. And I won. And the shirt is like an extra, extra small, so I can't do anything with it except hang it in my closet.
You should frame it.
That doesn't really go with my decor.
Oh. It's me.
I liked the Link Joe Amelia triangle. I like that. And ER. I don't remember the character's name, but I love that this person's name in real life is ER Fightmaster. It's the greatest name I've ever heard. And the fact that their name is ER and they're on Grey's Anatomy is pretty sweet, too.
Wait,
but anyway,
really? That's their name?
Yes, that's their name, ER Fightmaster.
Is that their Instagram handle?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't follow them on Instagram, but I just know their name. Anyway, I like that. I also liked Schmidt killing that person. Not that I enjoyed the death, but I found that compelling.
Me too, but that was a terrifying amount of blood on the floor. I was like, this
terrifying.
Is gruesome. I felt like I was watching Dexter for a second.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if that happens and if people can weigh in, but that, I don't know. I have so much, I've always had respect for the medical field and I really wanted to be a part of it, even though I don't think I could make it through medical school. But seeing some of the scenes in Grey's Anatomy, I'm like, I know it's dramatic because it's TV, but I also feel like a lot of that stuff happens and it's really gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do you know what I've realized about myself is I'm one of those people where if I start watching a new show, I start thinking I see all the characters out in real life. So like when I started watching Breaking Bad, I went to my coffee shop that I go to all the time. And I was like, I texted Red Star and I said, oh my gosh, Tuco's uncle's here. He's in line behind me. And I was like, I swear it's him. It looks exactly like him. And he was like, go up to him and say something. But it's like COVID. I didn't want to go up to him. And he goes, does he look exactly like he does in the show? And I said, exactly like. And he goes, the show is 10 years old. He doesn't look the same anymore, this guy. And I was like, oh. And then when
Is that Hector Salamanca with the bell?
Yeah, with the bell.
Oh, so good.
And then when we were in Mexico, there was somebody like walked past us and I was like, oh my gosh, that's one of Jesse, what's his name? Jesse
Aaron
Pinkman.
Paul.
Aaron Paul. I was like, that's one of Jesse Pinkman's dealers. I was like, I swear that's him. And he was just like, you keep seeing these people and it's not them. And I was like, I swear that's him.
Wow. You probably could have like meet Aaron Paul. I feel like y'all are similar circles, like know similar people.
I've come to realize that we are a little bit in a similar circle.
Yeah.
We have a lot of mutual friends.
So you're just Breaking Bad. Unexpected twist to 2022 is Tanya being obsessed with Breaking Bad.
a really unexpected turn of 2022.
And Mark, you know, saying cool, that this episode of Grey's is bad, I'm like,
yeah, what is up? What is going on?
Sorry. But Tanya, when you're done, you can watch El Camino, which is the movie they did, kind of the PS movie on Breaking Bad, which is great.
Okay.
And then you can watch Better Call Saul, which I think is phenomenal.
So I don't like him in this show, so I don't think I'm going to like...
Does it?
Oh,
no,
really?
No.
Okay.
Put all that aside. Okay. Yep, you got to put all that aside. Okay. Because it's...
I care about him the
least.
It's
in that world. And I totally agree, and that's why I held off on Better Call Saul for years.
Okay, all right.
But my dad talked me into it, and I really was happy with it. If Breaking Bad's a 10, Better Call Saul is a solid 8.5.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's not... What?
Downgrade.
It's not as good as Breaking Bad. I will admit that.
He's keeping your expectations.
I'm not saying it's as great. Breaking Bad is legendary. Sopranos, legendary,
yeah,
classic show. Better Call Saul is in the neighborhood, but it also just continues that world. And you will find yourself wanting to continue to be in that world.
Okay. It's kind of like Love Island. Like, I'm itching for season 3 now.
Exactly. I would say they're probably the exact same.
Those two have ever been compared. But it's the Salamancas are in it. And what's his name? Ermintrout. Mike Ermintrout is in it. Like, a lot of the characters you really like from Breaking Bad, you see them years earlier in Better Call Saul.
All right.
Wow. Easton was... Did anyone see Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wasn't it amazing?
Phenomenal. First time in a theater in 2 years, and I thought that was worth it. And I brought my kids, who have never seen a Marvel movie of any kind.
Wow.
And they loved it. They want to see it again.
Oh,
they thought it was
fun.
Fantastic.
Wait, I could go see it again.
Have either of you seen Don't Look Up?
No, but I've heard mixed reviews.
Mixed.
Okay, so I really want to... That's like my number one I want to watch. And then Emily in Paris, season 2.
Wow. You really go all over the board in your...
All over the board.
I love... And Queer Eye has a new season, which I love Queer Eye. And so
and
we watched 3 episodes.
Cobra Kai, I watched 9.5 episodes on the flight back from Honolulu. I almost got through the season, but didn't quite make it. But it's great.
Wow.
It really is all over the board. And I have to really pick and choose, because stuff I watch with Red Star and then things that he won't watch that I have to watch on my own, which my alone time is becoming less and less these days. So I really have to be choosy.
Yeah, you really got to keep up, because, you know, Grey's and Just Like That are once a week. So it's pretty easy to manage if you just stay on top of it. The binging shows are different.
Yeah.
I made a vision board and I accidentally left it on top of my car last night. So it charged in the sun. So it's like all bent and weird, but
that feels
no,
wait.
This feels
where
a little
were you parked
in my driveway.
So all night, all day and all night, there was a car in your driveway with a vision board on top of it.
Yeah. No one stole it.
Wow. That's
well, no,
great.
I'm not worried about people stealing it, but like the fact that it's being like charred by the sun and like in the rough
charged,
dirt.
Charged, not charred. Like it's charge the manifestation.
I don't know
it
about
said,
that.
And on the top it says follow this. I will follow the sun. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Right?
And now it's like a solar battery. It's been absorbing the sun's energy.
This thing's powerful. Y'all don't need to be anywhere near me if you don't want power and sunny.
Okay, maybe
me and Sunny.
That's our girl. Wait, maybe next week, our next podcast, we should do a deep dive, because I picked my word for the year. I finished phase 1 of my board. I still have phase 2 and 3 to finish. So that'll be perfect for next week.
Great. Also, yeah, I have some additions to my word. And you just said something that I was going to say and I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Because we talked about we're going to do 2 episodes. So we're going to be testing it out. We're going to do an episode where it's just us, and then we're going to do, when we have a guest, there will be 2 episodes that week. So it'll kind of, as we're like navigating it, testing it out, we're going to be keeping you updated on when we will have the extra episodes.
So basically Mondays are going to be this.
Yeah.
And then if we have a guest, that'll be later in the week. You'll have a guest bonus episode.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because, I mean, honestly, I have a lot of things to say. I actually made a list of things to talk about while we were gone. I felt very Mark. I did it on my phone, though. I didn't have a post-it. And I just like kept a little sheet of things. But most importantly, my new congestion nasal strips have been causing quite the stir on my Instagram. And it's very funny.
People don't support them?
No, because I'm scared my nose is going to get stuck open like that. I don't want it to like permanently like open my nose like that. But people are commenting on the honeymoon phase of a relationship, like when it really is over.
Oh, that's a good topic.
Yeah.
Because the goal is that it's never over, but is that realistic?
So that was my poll. I said, yes, it's over with my nasal strip. No, it never ends. And Red Star voted no, it never ends.
Oh, cute.
Why do you roll your eyes, Mark? Hatering?
Good for him telling you what you want to hear, but that's not possible.
That the honeymoon stage never ends?
Correct.
That's not true.
That is true. It cannot never end.
Says you. I know people that have been married for 60 years that say they're still in their honeymoon phase.
I don't believe that's true. I think that the honeymoon phase, by definition, has to have an ending to it. And it's not a hard end. It's just gradual.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, with my nasal strip, my drippy nose, and like the zit on the side of my face was really coming in strong last night.
This is a good conversation, though, and I think we could deep dive into it because I still feel definitely like honeymoon phase, but I do feel like it's so different at the beginning because once you get to know certain things about each other, it's like that like giddy blinder thing that you have during the honeymoon phase is gone, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
So that's a good topic.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a bad thing. And I don't mean to imply that it's a bad thing when the honeymoon phase goes away, but it's going to go away and it's going to get, and it gets deeper at that point.
Right. Like also, at this point, I like stopped plucking my nipple hairs.
Oh, you just went straight to laser or wax or just there?
Yeah, that's when you know.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. I would do like the body scrubs to where my skin was like so soft and then I get a tan and I was like lasered. Everything was just like
tight and bright.
Yeah. And now I'm just like,
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so pale. Didn't even pack a razor for a ski trip.
Okay. I do always pack a razor, but that you may have exited the phase of honeymoon. You're on to the next phase, whatever that is.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. Do we have time to do an email? I mean, we're already...
Oh.
We're pushing 50 minutes.
Well, now that you've said it, we probably should. Otherwise, people will be like, oh, there was an email and you guys didn't read it.
You're right.
Kirsten says, I, like Becca, grew up in a conservative household. My parents taught me sex is bad, unless you're married. Well, now I'm 30 and in a happy relationship, and I'm struggling feeling comfortable with sex. I think it has a lot to do with my upbringing. My partner is very patient, but it's hard for me to open up in the bedroom. Becca, after your upbringing, do you have the same problems, or do you feel like you've moved past that mentality? How do you move past it now? Also, how do your parents feel about you being more open with sex, and do they now agree with that in your life?
Just kicked Phoebe. Sex is such a... I think if you're in a conservative household and grow up like in a Christian household, it's definitely one of those things that is uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable topic to talk about. But I also think sex in general kind of has like that feeling for a lot of people, regardless of how you grew up. But I was very scared of intimacy, and I think because I was waiting for marriage for a long time, I was able to kind of hide behind that as like a defense mechanism, because I was scared and there was a lot of like, I guess, shame associated with sex. And it wasn't even so much from my parents. Like, my parents weren't... I mostly made my decisions on sex based on church and like going to Bible study and youth group and all that stuff. So my parents weren't so much like, you need to... I never really even had a sex talk with my parents. So most of that came from other people. I have moved past it. I don't know.
My parents are probably very envious of yours, by the way, because I asked all the sex questions to mine.
Yeah, but I think it's important to have those conversations. And I don't think it's supposed to be like this super comfortable... It's always going to be like this comfortable thing. But I think it's to have that open dialogue is really important. But I don't know if my parents agree with my lifestyle, but I kind of have had to accept that I am, you know, a 33-year-old woman and able to make decisions that are best for me. And they love me, and we don't always agree on everything. That's for sure. But I think at a certain age, you kind of decide who you're living for and like make your own decisions. And I think a lot of times we worry about disappointing our parents, and we disappoint ourselves because we're so worried about disappointing other people. So,
so true.
I think I even had a conversation with Robert where I apologized because I was like, I was so scared of being open and intimate that I feel like I was so shut out and you were so patient with me. And like, you know, I apologized and was like, thank you for being so patient. And also like, you got a very scared, you know, version of me when it came to intimacy. So I do think it's something to navigate and work through. And even if you talk to a therapist or talk to someone who you feel comfortable with, I think it's really important.
I think Becca hit the nail on the head. It's like, who are you living for? And I think whether it's your parents, whether it's your church, whether it's people on Instagram, whatever it is, in your case, you can do things that other people approve of. But if it doesn't feel good to you and it doesn't feel genuine to you, then at the end of the day, like, what are you doing it for?
That's so true. Because it's like, if you don't want to have sex till you're married, and that's really what you want to do, regardless of what other people or society or what anyone's telling you, stick to what feels right to you. But if you are not doing something based on disappointing other people, believe me, let me tell you from experience, it's just going to weigh on you. And it's not worth the weight that you carry when you do that.
And I think there's long-term and short-term here. My wife and I had a conversation over the break about how our parents screw us up. And how her parents and then my parents. And then the question she asks me is, how do we not screw our kids up? And I told her, we have no choice in the matter. The only thing is limit the damage. That's all we can try to do, is how much we screw them up and how we screw them up. But we're going to screw them up. It's just inevitable. But none of it is, all of it can be overcome. Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the ways that your parents have messed you up. And you can overcome that. And I can do it. And my wife can do it. And we all can do it. We just have to put in the work, whether it's therapy or whatever it is. That's the long term. I think the short term is, I'm wondering if there's stuff that you can do to get out of your head a little bit, whether it's a little bit of alcohol. I don't know if that's your thing. And maybe there's the music. Maybe it's the lighting. Maybe it's just the environment. And maybe it's the time of day, the situation. I think there's elements there that could maybe be helpful to you, too, that could just kind of get your mind off of things. If there's music playing or something, that's just to kind of get out of your head a little bit.
Also, couples therapy is a game changer. And I think Mark's right. There's so many ways to overcome it. And it's also, Mark, I like that you say that, because I think parents hear like, oh, everyone's messed up, and or like, if you're dealing with trauma from your parents or whatever it is, like, even if it's not directly associated, it becomes such a personal thing. But it's really, it's just like, we're all so different and we all form our own opinions, and every parent wants the best for their kids. No one's intentionally trying to do anything that's going to cause harm or struggle for their child, I like to think.
And if I told my parents that they messed me up, they would be very offended by that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to hear that.
But it's not really, it's not even like you messed me up. It's like, oh yeah, this, I think, affected me when I was younger, and I'm realizing it's affecting me as an adult, so I'm dealing with it.
Yes, and they 100% were great parents and did the absolute best they could. And also, by the way, I'm messed up in completely different ways than my sister is. You just never know how it's going to land. You just don't know.
Yeah. So I really appreciate that you recognize that, because I think that's, as I'm not a parent, but you know, as Phoebe, I just know she has so much trauma from how I've raised her. No, but seriously, like, I'm not a parent, but I do feel like I sometimes struggle with being like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with these things that I never navigated until I was an adult. And I feel guilty implying that it's going to seem like my parents weren't great parents, because my parents were incredible.
But it can also be things that your parents did that in it, like, didn't even, that, I don't know what the right word, inadvertently?
Unintentionally
affected you. Like, for me, going to Catholic school was like that. They were doing the best they could because they thought that was the best school to put me in, but I was such a sore thumb. You know what I mean? Like, I went to First Communion in a blue dress and everybody was wearing white ones. So it's like all these things that happened to me were like emotionally scarring, but it wasn't necessarily their fault, but it was because I was in this Catholic school and I had no idea what I was doing.
Just you in your blue dress?
Yeah. Everyone come to
apple
school.
Apple thrown at your head?
Everyone come to school in your First Communion dress, but I didn't have First Communion, so I was like, I'll just wear a dress. Little did I know.
Oh,
I know.
Little Tanya.
I know. Traumatized till this day. Just want to fit in.
We all do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's the new year. Hopefully next week we'll be together in person.
Yeah. Same.
I hope everyone is staying healthy and happy. And, you know, I was thinking, even if last year, like, regardless of if it was good, the best year ever, the worst year ever, just okay, it's in the past.
Yeah, that's right. We're not looking that way anymore.
2021 has happened, and now we're in a new year. And I hope that it's amazing for everybody. But just know, I was standing on the river the other day, and there were ebbs and flows, and there was moments where the river was very still, but it was still moving, but you couldn't really see where it was moving. And then it hit the rocks, and it was flowing effortlessly. And I was thinking, like, that's how life is. Like, you feel sometimes like you're not moving forward, but you are, even if you feel still. Are you
smoking that joint right now?
That is a fantastic metaphor.
Thank you. I really was, like, deep in my thoughts, sober. And it's so true. I was watching the water. I was like, it looks very still, but it's all moving in different directions. But it all comes to this one direction where all of a sudden it starts flowing fast.
It's true.
And that's what we're trying to achieve, isn't it? That stillness while still moving forward.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for.
But I do think a lot of people feel stuck, like they were stuck in the last 2 years. Like everybody felt like they lost years of their lives. Like they didn't do anything. They didn't propel forward. They just kind of like stayed.
But I guarantee if you think about if you're able to really like get into your head and think about those times, there is an area where you moved forward. It might not be the area where you were focused on moving forward, but in some capacity, everyone was still moving. As long as no one quit, you were still moving forward. It just didn't go. It didn't look how you thought it was going to look.
That's right.
And on that note, I am literally Inspiration 101. No, I'm not. I'm not that.
She's like New Year's Eve watching the water, smoking a doobie.
Honestly, I wish I had done that while I had smoked because that I would have seen way more inspirational things.
More prolific?
Yes, I would have been way more prolific. Yeah. All right. Hope everyone has a great first week of the new year. And we'll be back next week.
With a great show.
What's a great show? This podcast, this year's podcast is going to be the greatest you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting any duds. Like, you know, like sometimes we're like, oh, that one was a dud. Like this
year, but every time we say that, we get the most messages.
That's true. That is true. No more of that. No more in 2022. We say no.
Yeah.
New thing.
If it ain't great, it ain't getting released.
If it ain't great, we can legally do that. But bye, Nate. No. That's our motto. That's on our list.
I don't know what that means, but that was good.
Thank you.
All right. We love you.
We love you.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by 2 sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey, this week on Call Chelsea Peretti, we have Blake Anderson, and it's definitely worth a listen for moments such as...
Yeah, it's crazy. You didn't realize how much Sporks had to...
change the game.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between Sweden, Stockholm, and Norway?
That's a great question.
Do you know that a caller called and says he has something called Fantasia's disease where you can't visualize anything?
I have that.
What the actual...
What? You do?
Listen to Call Chelsea Peretti on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.